Good morning, church. Is everyone full or filled from last night's Christmas dinner? Yeah, sort of. How many of you actually was able to come and join us for dinner last night? If you can put your hand up. That's amazing. We lost at least three quarters of the rest of the group. They're still all very tired, probably. So before we get started, I'm just going to show a little video. So if you, AV team, if you can just put that up, please, that'd be great.
Do you want to get baptized today?
Yeah, I think
that'd
be fun.
Okay, let's do it.
Let me get my goggles.
Okay.
Do I have to plug my nose?
Yeah, it'll hurt.
Okay, I'll plug the phone sensor.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Baptism is the act of going into the water and being reborn again.
Well, that's what the Bible say, right? After you accept Jesus Christ, and then you have to go to baptize. That's a simple question and simple answer.
Have a personal relationship with God and want to secure and cement that relationship as a witness to others.
Isn't that where, like, people go into the water and, like, get baptized? Because coming to know Jesus is not just spiritual, but it's also a holy act. It's just saying, I'm done with my past, I'm being reborn into a new person in Christ.
In all seriousness, baptism symbolizes the acceptance of Christ and the cleansing of sin so that we may all be with God eternally. A way of making official vows of one's dedication towards God.
Let's give them a round of applause for doing that video. Interesting story with this. Actually, I talked to them, some of them who were part of the video, and I was like, hey, would you actually like to be on stage and actually do a play or whatever? And they're like, no, it's, they'd rather be behind the screen. It's kind of weird nowadays. They don't really like to be up here, but we want to thank you. Really, technically, you don't need to hear me preach, to be quite honest. That's a whole sermon done in a minute. Very straightforward. But before we really get into it, let's just pray and we'll get started in there. Father, we thank you. May your love be with us. May your peace be with us. And may your joy be with us as well. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Once again, thank you, Eve. Thank you, students, that were helping out with that video. I think being in church, a lot of us, in some way or shape or form, has heard of what baptism is. Of course, we can dig and we can go into very deep word study, go into the Greek, learning about the background and all that. But I think I'm imagining for most of us sitting here, and especially for me to think of it when I was in high school or even in college, is that knowing what the word means doesn't really matter. Not as much. We can know what the word means, but why? And I think if we spend some time just to figure out, why does it matter? Why does baptism matter to us today as Christ followers, as Jesus followers? I think that will help us really just to figure out, okay, what do we doing here? Because in the church, if you look at church history, a lot of it is that there's a lot of sacraments. There are things that we hold dear. Oh, for sure. Okay. Here, before we get into any deeper. So there's this car right here. It's a white Toyota, AEXJ 828. Whoever the owner is, could you please move your car? Because it's blocking the way. So, so just so that you're aware, AEXJ 828. anyways, where were we? need a new car. Yes. Yes. We'll talk about that later. But really, we need to understand the why. And because it's Baptismal Sunday, we're very happy to celebrate one of our own that's getting baptized. Are you excited to be baptized? Yeah, you are. Yeah, there you go. I'm very happy for you. So we want to, once again, we talk about why we are getting baptized. Why is this so important? And I want to give three simple points for today. I'm sure you note takers will love it because it's three simple points. There's nothing fancy to it. And it's very straightforward. Hopefully you guys get it. So the first passage that we're going to turn to, if you have your word, if you have the Bible, please turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Okay. Let's see if this is on. I think so. Matthew 28. And we're going to go to the end of the chapter. Okay. Most of you, once again, who has been in church for some time should have read, heard, or even if you've only been to church once, especially during the Christmas season or even Easter, well, actually more so Easter than Christmas, you will have read or heard this message. And this is, am I pressing the right button? Oh, no. It's right here. And this is what it says. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." If you didn't know, baptism is an act of obedience for those who decided to follow Christ. Jesus preached a lot of messages during his lifetime of the 3 years of ministry that he had. And consider this as his conclusion to his best sermon that you will ever hear. Okay? A lot of people preach a lot. Jesus, he preaches here at the end. What are you supposed to do? Because we're all about application today. Like, what am I practically supposed to do as a disciple? And that's what he says. Go and make disciples. Go make more disciples. Go find more followers who will follow Jesus. And how do you do this? You baptize them. You baptize them in what? Not just in water. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In his authority, in God's authority, we go and we baptize. It's an act of obedience for those who are Christ followers to do it. While at the same time, it's for those who are learning and growing in their faith. It's a part of their commission as well to be baptized. And please highlight that. Please highlight that part, that baptizing. If you want to be a disciple maker for Jesus, if you want to follow Jesus as well, one of the first acts, it's not memorizing the Apostles' Creed. It's not memorizing the Ten Commandments. It's not memorizing all the books of the Bible. I don't know how many of you can memorize it. I mean, I'm still amazed. Like, some of the kids can memorize, like, the first five books, like, from the Jewish school. They learn and they can memorize it. I mean, that's intense. But he doesn't need that. All he's asking for is for us to baptize people in his name. And here is the second point. See, it's very quick, it's very painless, we get there. Second point. It's an act of identification. How many of you have IDs? How many of you have more than one ID? Okay, now I know How many of you have 3 IDs? You should. At the very least, you should have 4, really. Okay, so let me count. Hopefully, I'm getting this right. So first of all, you should have your driver's license for those of you of age and can drive, for sure. Okay. The second piece of ID is for those of you who are in probably high school or you're working. You should have some piece of ID that can get you into your school in some way. So the third ID is your passport. You kind of need that to get out of the country. That passport, I held it very tightly when I was in Hong Kong. I hugged it like it was nothing. Like every morning when I woke up, the first thing I checked, it wasn't my phone. I was like, okay, where's my passport? Where's my passport? And every time I'm on the streets, I'm going out with some friends and whatnot, every like half an hour, I'm like, okay, is my passport still here? And I wasn't just carrying my passport. I was actually carrying my ID from Macau as well, because I went back and forth to Macau. So I made sure I held my ID very tightly as well. Okay. And the fourth piece of ID, I'm assuming most of you should have, is your birth certificate. Some of you are like, what, are you crazy? I still have my birth certificate. It's not on me, but I have it at home in Calgary, hidden somewhere not so safe, but it is there. But when we are doing the act of baptism, it's an identification that we identify ourselves with Christ. And here is what it says right there. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. And now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized in Christ and have put on Christ, there is neither Jew or Greek, there is neither slave or free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ's, then you're Abraham's offspring. Here's according to the promise. When we are getting baptized, it's not just a symbolism that you've made that commitment to faith. There's actually an interchange of identification that is there. Before you were baptized, you may be associated with the world and the things that are going on. And we are. You're still in the world, but you're not of it. You're no longer of this part of the world. And here, James tells us that you have a new identity that is there. Even though you're still living in your earthly presence, even though you still have to deal with your day-to-day situation, that identity becomes even higher than any other identity that you have. One of the reasons why, for me, why I started going into ministry, or even had the thought of it, I started thinking about it when I was in high school, is that I really wanted to be in ministry at the time. And the logic was quite simple. It wasn't really anything crazy. God did not strike me with lightning and like flip me upside down in a car and all of that kind of crazy stuff. It was very simple. It was just one very simple idea that God took and just transformed it. Really all that was that if my faith really defined who I am, if my faith that I've learned as a child actually mattered, then I should be living according to it. I only have one life. I didn't have a lot of asset or anything really in high school. I still don't now. But it's a change. It's like, if this faith really matters, then why would I not want to take a risk in my life and my faith for the one that matters? And God's taken me on a crazy journey. Of course, you've heard the weight loss story and you've heard some other things. You just haven't heard me talk about being chased by gangs in Calgary and all of that kind of fun stuff. Those are saved for later. But God's taken me in a wild journey where I continually experience His grace over and over again. And it's because of that identification I have with Him that I am no longer attached to the world. And for God to be able to lead and take me in a different place. It's a mark, it's an act of identification that we have. And for the longest time I thought that baptism was only a symbol, and that was it. I still remember that one conversation I had from a long time ago when I was in Bible college for like the first week. And one of the guys who are a little older, a little more experienced, and he asked me, he's like, "Hey, Forrest, what do you think about baptism?" I'm like, "I have no clue, because I just got out of high school coming in here. My church never really taught it that well. Well, more so I didn't pay attention while I was in church when I was in high school. I was just more focused on just hanging out, playing with friends and all that. So baptism never really mattered. But I started thinking for a second. I'm like, you know, yeah, it was a symbolism. At the time, I thought it was a symbolism. But when I started digging deeper, there's so much more into it. And I want to encourage you for us to think about it and continue to think deeper and act on it. Because baptism is not a lofty theology that is out there. It's not a lofty idea. Because it's a key, it's an important issue that will alter the way that you think about God, I think. And it's a very practical system that we need to work out in our salvation as well. So everyone's following along so far. So let me quiz you quickly. What's the first point? Yes, it's an act of obedience. So first of all, it's an act of obedience that we do with baptism. Second point, once again, it's an act of our identity. So it's our act of identification that we have in there. We keep it quick. Here's the third point, okay? So, here it is. It's a mark of public declaration. We declare things a lot on a regular basis, especially on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and all of that. I love it when I see uncles and aunties post on Facebook these long public declarations. It's quite interesting. I mean, I read some of them, and I get curious sometimes. It's like, oh man, you sure have a lot of time to post a lot of these things. You do. And it's interesting, because the more I read into it, the more I dig in, and I'm like, you have a pretty interesting theology as well, the way that you see the world and all that. But we're making a public declaration all the time. Not just once. We keep doing it. Just think about how many of you have Instagram. Don't worry, I'm not going to add you. Don't add me either, but I have it. Think about the pictures that you post on there, or even Facebook. How many of you have Facebook right now and still sort of uses it? I only use it to message, but you're declaring something on whatever you're posting today. You're declaring something. The pictures that you're posting, the stories that you're posting on there, the feeds that you're sending out and sharing, those are your public declarations. So nowadays, I've learned to be a little more careful with the posts that I would share. And some of the stories and some of the experiences that I share on social media now. Because I recognize that, especially right now, is more of a public speaker, is more public front in some sense, that I need to be very careful about the stories that I share, because you don't know what kind of influence is there. Really positive story, actually. One of my friends in Calgary, she started doing this thing a long time ago where every single day she would post just a very simple devotion. It may be just a couple lines, very short. But it's amazing. Like when I talk to her, there's actually people that censor feedback, censor a message, and tells her that it's such an encouragement to have some daily devotion when the day gets busy and when you're scrolling through your phone. And you just see that one message from God that day, just that one Bible verse. And I encourage you to do that sometimes. Don't scare people away. I know some of you have some non-Jesus followers as friends that are on your Facebook. If you share too many verses or too many passages or devotionals and hallelujahs on there, that might scare them. I don't know. It scares me. So be careful of what you're declaring publicly. And here's what it says. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the waters. And behold, the heavens were opened up to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." It's a public declaration. And it's one that whether or not you see it, God recognizes it's there. And I think some of us here today aren't willing to take that step or are not ready to take that step, or you think you're not ready to take that step. Because you're in some way scared of that identity, that association that is there. And I wonder why. I mean, I'm thinking of it as this. How many of us here are married? I'm not. Sorry, I shouldn't put my hand up. I'm not. Some of you are married. How many of you are dating? Some of you, especially high school kids, don't put your hands up. I don't want to know, because that means I have to have a conversation with you after. Some of you are dating, some of you are married, some of us are single. Let's go with one thing at a time, okay? How would you feel if your husband decides not to wear that ring, that wedding band that you put on him on wedding day? If you're fine with it, you can nod. Don't put your hand up. He doesn't need to know. Yeah. I don't see anything. Okay. How many of you would be a little upset? No. Wow. How many of you would be kind of angry? Well, I get really angry. Especially for new newlyweds, I think if that ring is not on there, that might get to them a little bit, doesn't it? What if your wife goes out and doesn't tell other people or let her friends or her coworkers know that you're married? How would you feel about that? Yikes. And I think it's a similar situation with that on one front, we're willing to say we're Jesus followers, we're willing to tell other people about it, but we're not doing something about it. It's like hiding that wedding band. Of course, I know if some of you are nurses or you're working in other professions that requires to be having those kind of safety hazards to be taken care of. I understand that. But at the same time, I wonder is that, you know, if you're married and you don't have your ring on, what's kind of the message that you're trying to send? Of course, that's safe for marriage counseling with Pastor Jonathan later on, or some other pastors that are here. Go talk to them. I can't help you with it. I'm single. I don't have a wedding band. I have a worship band, so I work with that, okay? So, but it's a mark of public identification. that you're declaring to the world today that you're with Christ and you're with Him for life. Baptism with that identification doesn't end the story. It doesn't end your faith journey and say you're done. It's a check mark, you're done. But it's only the beginning of the journey where you start. Where you go and you continue on that life journey after that commitment. And I'm sure, once again, most of you who are married will know that getting married is the easy part. Going to the wedding ceremony is the easy part. The stuff after that is the tough part. Having to pay the bills, having to deal with day-to-day situations, having to figure out a new lifestyle, and all that. Because I, once again, I'm not married, but when I see my parents and how they just kind of work together and not want to hurt each other on a day-to-day basis, it surprises me. Like, the communication that is there is, like, phenomenal. They don't talk. So it makes it work for them. But for the rest of us, you know, communication is a very huge key. That mark of identity and identification. Who and what are you identified with today? And through baptism, and for those of you who are going to get baptized, those of you who are baptized, I really hope that your identity does not come from your job, your marriage status, your wealth, your friends, and your family, but ultimately it's covered by Christ. I'm trying to learn this new lesson recently, really, that when I meet someone new, someone that I'm not familiar with, I try not to ask, what do you do for a living? I try my best to stray away from that. Because the more that I talk to people, the more that I realize, and the older I'm getting, the more that I realize, is that each person is not about their job. You know, their job doesn't take charge of their own identity. But really, it's who they are as a person that makes the difference. So I'm learning, so if you hear me ask, what do you do for a living? You don't have to answer me on that. Just ignore me completely and just talk about something else. Tell me what you like. Tell me, you know, what are some of your hobbies? What do you like to do? Tell me who you are really, rather than telling me what your job is. And I think for us today, when we start looking at that, it changes the way that we see people. It changes the way that we think about people as well. Once again, baptism is an act of what? Obedience. And then it's an act of an act of identification, and then public declaration of glad. Yes. 3 points. Very straightforward. Baptism is a commitment. It's not an easy act. We can spend all day thinking about what saves you, what's not, but really, through baptism, through today when we're experiencing baptism, it's a unique experience. For us as a congregation, we get to witness, we get to be a part of the stand to witness whoever is getting baptized today, to witness his growth, to witness his commitment to Christ. And for the one who's getting baptized, then it's for him to make that sign to say, I am ready to follow Christ for the rest of my life. It's a commitment to God. It's signing covenant. It's a lot like marriage. It's making that promise that is there. And I hope for us today, when we're going into the baptism ceremony, when we're really in there, we're not just taking it lightly. We'll have fun. We'll enjoy it. Praise God for it. We'll have a lot of fun. But while at the same time is that we're reminded that it is a serious part of our faith and journey. And I hope some of you who are not baptized as well, but who's been coming to church for some time, that with today's message, and even just for you to consider that, you're willing to make that commitment. It may not change you entirely, very honestly. It may not. But when you have that promise made to God, I think you'll start looking at life differently. I think you'll start to respond and connect to people a little differently as well. And that's my encouragement for you today. Once again, congratulations for the one who is getting baptized from our ministries. Jason? All right, so let me just close in prayer, and we'll go from there. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for just the way that you love us, the way that you care for us, and through, once again, the message of baptism, that we really consider and we really think about our faith and our faith journey, that it's not just a here and now type situation, but it's way beyond that. So, Father, just want to lift it all into your hands. We want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for the time that we have. In your son's name we pray. Amen.